I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to Light Up Your Security, a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series brought to you by Simulate, the developers of a breach and attack simulation platform that enables companies to challenge, assess, and optimize their cybersecurity posture against threat evolutions simply and continuously. To learn more about Simulate, visit simulate.com. Joining me today is Arian Seghetti, Senior Solution Architect at Simulate. Welcome, Arian. So happy to have you back on the show. Great to be speaking with you.
Thanks, Hillary. It is good to be speaking with you again. Always a pleasure to be back.
So, Arian, to start off, I'd love to hear you describe what's important about identifying your hidden risks of external resources.
Yeah, absolutely. So, over the last, 10, 15 years, obviously we've had an explosion in IT, right? And through that explosion of digital framework, digital resources, everyone really, we've got apps on our phones, we've got applications all over the place. Well, a lot of things have come more to serve the remote user, right? And so because we're serving the remote user now, we have a lot of external resources, right? Those external resources are providing those services, right? I work from home, right? Yeah. Most of my company works from home. We have a lot of different customers and a lot of people out there are working from home or they're working from coffee shops, all of those things. So we have all these external resources feeding our clients, feeding our workers, right? And because of that, we have the added scrutiny of providing security to external, which adds another layer of defenses. So if we're not providing the right defenses, those risks become a gateway to our inner core, right? That inner candy core that we want to really protect. So those external resources in and of themselves are really essential to be kind of that first layer of defense, right? Even though I'm serving you, right? Here's a web application. I need to ensure that external resource isn't providing more additional risk, right? So again, when we talk about additional risk, there's different people that are looking at it, right? You've got compliance, you've got audit, you've got the security operations people, you've got the infrastructure people. So everyone there is looking at something a little bit differently, also changing things a little differently. So there's risk because there's so many fingers in the pot, if you will. And what we really, really want is just kind of to eliminate that, right? Hard, but it needs to be accomplished.
Excellent. Great. And so what are some challenges with being able to keep up with identifying dynamic external assets?
Oh, yeah. So, applications, it used to be we would really talk about once a month change control. That was a few years back. That was fairly common. We would do an application change that would be done once a month, right? There was a lot of things that went into the process today. Well, with modern day application building, right? We've got this CI/CD pipeline, right? Continuous improvement, continuous development. Well, because we're doing that, because we're standing up things within, minutes today might have taken weeks before. Well, that's a dynamic resource. So it's put out there in minutes. And when we think about being able to put something out in a matter of minutes versus weeks, that dynamicness really, it's a struggle for security teams to keep up with, because there's generally going to be more application developers than there are security people, right? Security people are now tasked with looking at everything across applications, across web servers, the user themselves, the remote user. So as we're building and building more available resources, assets that are out there, security people just can't handle it. Also, we have security resource limitations, right? That's a very large thing going on right now, right? Is we just don't have enough resources to be able to handle a new external asset, right? That's a new web application. I can literally build a web application, on my phone in a matter of minutes and publish it to the world. Well, if I can do that and somebody else can do that, and they do that for a customer, as a security individual, am I going to be able to identify that fast enough to identify, was there the appropriate amount of risk applied to that to make sure that we should go public with it, right? So dynamic assets, they're just hard. And that's the only way you can say about it is they're so fast and they're so hard to keep up with that we really are challenged and stretched thin from a security operations perspective.
Well, speaking of challenges and resourcing limitations and things of that nature, how has the cloud changed the ability to keep up with shadow IT resources?
Cloud. So cloud and shadow IT resources, well, what you have there, and it's a phenomenal resource, right? The cloud is a phenomenal resource. It provides the capabilities that used to, again, like I said, even internally would take weeks to do. Well, if I'm a developer and I want to test out a series of code, but I have to wait 3 weeks to do it, or I take a credit card, an email address, whatever I want, I put it into my cloud resource, I swipe that, I'm testing within minutes, right? So, and that usually what ends up happening is I'm testing within minutes, I'm developing within minutes. Hey, you know what? This is actually a very flexible platform that I can utilize. Next thing you know, it's published, right? And the first client is utilizing it because they wanted to have a beta client, right? And the beta client is utilizing it. And that right there now is a production resource and it was not approved by anybody, right? So it's great, the capabilities within the cloud itself, right? You can utilize all these different things so fast at your fingertips. The quickness of development is phenomenal. But those shadow IT resources, there's no security around it. There's no risk evaluation around it, right? There's no understanding on, I can't even bring it down anymore to apply the proper security controls because somebody's utilizing it. So the cloud itself is phenomenal when it comes to providing lightning fast resources to everyone, but now everyone is a shadow IT resource as well, and everyone can spin something up. And so as a security professional, you're like, okay, the cloud, so much good, but so much do you have to wrap your head around it. So basically what I'm saying is it's great, but we have to make sure that the culture of the company itself understands that we want you to utilize all those resources, but we want you to do it through the proper measures. So we can see it, we have visibility, and we can react on your behalf to any attacks that are out there, right? That's the one thing. And it's not that developers are going against security, it's just, it's easy. And I get that, you know, I've got many kids and whatever's easiest, they're going to do. And so just knowing that, you have to have the flexibility to provide the right resources so that you don't create a sub-shadow IT group.
Excellent. Thank you. And Arian, my next question for you is, how are organizations identifying breach feasibility in real time on their external assets today?
Yeah. So, you know, when we start thinking about external assets, again, we've kind of got, you know, web applications that I've published out there, even that last question around cloud,
right,
and shadow IT. All of those are now external assets, right? Whether you intended them to be or not, these are all external assets. So what we look at is breach feasibility, right? Breach feasibility is really part of continuous security validation, right? Testing what could happen, right? So I want to be able to know and understand what could happen. I was watching a football this past Sunday, and I heard one of the announcers talk about the head coach during an offensive play, he goes all the way to the end of the sideline to watch it from a defensive perspective, right? So the head coach, they called in the offensive play. And so, but he goes to the other side to say, I'm looking at the way the defense is set up. If I'm the defense, how can I get in, right? How can I get to the quarterback? That's breach feasibility. So he's taking that objective view, because he wants to be able to see, all right, I've got all, you know, bringing that back to the IT side of the house, I've got these 100 external assets. If I look at all of them, right, and I look at this as an attack surface itself, right, Where can I actually get in? What is the most logical place that I can get in? That's breach feasibility, right? So that's from an external perspective, breach feasibility. Well, it's not that firewall. It's not that router. It's, there it is. It's that web application that has 25 open ports when really they should only have 443 open. Okay, great. Now I have 24 different places where I could potentially breach that organization. I'm going to look for the easiest one and I'm going to go do that, right? And so that's really where breach feasibility comes into and what organizations should be doing, right? It's taking, we've hardened the outside, so we thought, but we're looking at from the inside out. This is looking at from the outside in. So you take a step back, you take a step outside and you look, you know, again, you look at your offense or you look at your house. Hey, great that we bought locks for the windows. We have locks for the windows. I know we have locks. We've got actually three locks for the windows, but the window's literally open right now. So why? What is the lock actually doing? And the answer is nothing, right? And that's where, you know, creating this view of your external assets or your external attacks for creating that understanding of that's where a breach could happen.
Excellent. And so my final question to kind of wrap up our conversation, Arian, there's a lot of M&A activity in cybersecurity. We have a feed on Cybercrime Magazine up that keeps everyone up to date, but there's a lot going on. So if a company is going through mergers and acquisitions activity, how is IT helping an organization do their due diligence using attack surface management?
Yeah. Yeah. So right, you go right back to that, you know, what we talk about breach feasibility, you know, in a mergers and acquisition scenario. So there's usually two scenarios here, right? There's the pre-acquisition and you're evaluating, you know, what is, as the business itself is evaluating the, you know, what is the total cost going to be versus the total benefit of acquiring this company? So generally IT is on the back seat. They're, for the most part, for many years now, they've been, you know, you might send over a questionnaire to that company that's looking to be acquired and say, can you fill these things out? And again, questionnaires can always be subjective. And so when we think about it from that perspective, what external attack surface management allows you to do as the company that is looking to acquire that other company, IT and security can now step up and say, you know what? We actually can help in this situation. So let's look at this company, right? We'll say company A is the company that's going to be acquired. So if I'm the security person of company B, I'm going to look at company A from externally and I'm going to find out everything I can about them, right? I might be able to find out what kind of firewalls they're using, what kind of holes they have in that. I might be able to find out the types of applications they're using. Are they legacy applications? Are they running on legacy servers? So all of these things via different queries, different scans can all be found out, right? And what that does is it builds a really good picture for me externally. So now I can say, well, I know from an external perspective, they've got X, Y, and Z. If they have X, Y, and Z, I know the cost to upgrade X, Y, and Z might be roughly $500,000. So if I'm looking at that, I can now go back to my business and say, it's going to take me, without even reading their questionnaire, without even getting my hands on their equipment, I know that it's going to take me roughly $500,000 in upgrades. So when you're looking at creating a price, right, or creating a negotiation strategy, here is something that you can do, which is data driven, right? Can't argue with that data. So that's kind of, you know, what we look at, what they're looking at. There's also a second part of that is with attack surface management, you can understand their normal behavior, right? What are they reaching out to, right? Are there dark web resources that are out there about them, right? Are there very few dark web resources? So maybe they do a really good job about, you know, their people and their passwords and their databases and all of these things, right? I can't find much about them. Or is there a lot, right? So IT security can come in and say, you know, we are able to find a lot of resources about this. So we don't believe that their corporate IT security strategy has been really effective. So there's a lot of risk by taking on the people and the technology. They just haven't done a very strong job at that. So again, what's happening here is IT security and IT in general is no longer taking a back seat and just waiting, right? They're actually being proactive, and they're able to go back to the business and say, we've done our own due diligence. We believe that this is the security posture, and this is the potential cost to get that up to our corporate standards, right? And that's gonna be very, very helpful to the business, right? It's a great negotiating tool. It's data-driven. You're not gonna argue with that. So it's nice because now IT and IT security is being brought into those conversations a lot earlier, right? It's kind of elevating us security people, which is nice. And you're being able to provide a positive outcome to your company. So it's good all around, right? IT is constantly getting, we're coming to the adults table, if you will.
That's a great way to put it. Well, Arian, thanks so much for coming back onto the show. And I always love speaking with you. You're so knowledgeable. So I think this is a really fun episode for listeners and just really informative as well. So thank you.
Well, appreciate you having me back, Hillary, and I can't wait till the next one.
Sounds great. Thank you. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Light Up Your Security is brought to you by Simulate, the developers of a breach and attack simulation platform that enables companies to challenge, assess, and optimize their cybersecurity posture against threat evolutions simply and continuously. To learn more about our sponsor, Simulate, visit simulate.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.